long break. Hopefully this break has not dampened your momentum of studying Bhagavad Gita. And hope all of you remember which chapter we are on. That's why I put the words on the board. So anyone wants to recap what we did in our previous class? I know it's a bit challenging. It's been 2 weeks.
Sankhya Yoga. So Krishna is explaining Sankhya Yoga to
us. Yes, Lord Krishna is explaining Sankhya Yoga. So what is Sankhya Yoga?
Analytical study of the body.
Analytical study of?
Matter and spirit.
Yeah, okay. So why did... What is the benefit of studying Sankhya Yoga? So the whole idea behind Sankhya Yoga is to detach ourselves from matter, to know that we are eternal spirit soul. Our constitution is spirit. The jiva is made of the superior energy of the Lord. So jiva is not from the inferior energy of the Lord. So jiva is superior, tathashta, superior but marginal. And the jiva has a tendency to fall down and get connected with the inferior energy, which is matter. But still, even though the jiva gets intimately connected with matter, the jiva still remains spirit and matter still remains matter. So a study, an analytical study, an understanding of spirit versus matter is required for the purpose of Hridaya Granthi Abhedana, to cut the knot of attachment to everything which is material, be it material objects, be it material relationships, right? So the whole idea of Sankhya Yoga is that. And so who spoke Sankhya Yoga?
Kapiladev.
So we talked about, Prabhupada writes that the original Kapiladev, not the imposter or the cricketer Kapiladev. So it is the original Kapil Muni who spoke to his mother Devahuti, who was none other than Kapiladev was none other than an incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. What else did we discuss?
Spoke about
Vyavasayatmika Buddhi was in the last class or the last class? Last class. Thank you.
One should be resolute in the donation.
Okay. So Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, and we also saw how deviations can come from the path of Krishna consciousness. What are the types of deviations that we saw? What are some of the deviations?
Succumbing to family pressure.
Misplaced gratitude. Yes.
Extreme misery can lead to deviation.
And extreme comfortable life can also lead to deviation.
Yeah. Excessive endeavors for material life.
Excessive endeavor in material life. Yeah.
Fault finding
with devotees. I am perfect syndrome. I am perfect, you are not perfect. Okay. So that can lead to disillusionment with bhakti. What else?
This verse has actually inspired Srila Prabhupada to go to verse 92.
Correct. Beautiful. Very good point. Yeah. So this verse, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, this is the verse that inspired Srila Prabhupada to go and preach in the US. He took this verse to heart. And Prabhupada never deviated from the mission of his spiritual master. What else?
We discussed what the Vedas are. They speak about Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. And the Upanishads and the Puranas being the corollaries to them. And the Upanishads help us, from where the Vedas and the Upanishads help us transcend the three modes of nature, but it might still, you know, lead us towards being to the Brahmavadi kind of thing. And then once we take the help of Amala Purana like Srimad Bhagavatam, we can then transcend and remain.
Very good. Very happy with your answers. Looks like you are studying sincerely. So are some of the others. I also heard that your study groups are meeting. That day I was very happy. I went to your house, Shivanand Prabhu's house. And I asked him, where is Mataji? He said, Mataji is doing study group with Nandini Radhika Mataji and Madhavanand Prabhu. So I was very happy to hear that. So I hope all the study groups are, all the leaders are, you know, meeting up with their groups. So it's very nice to hear that. So when Keshav Prabhu also hears that we are studying Bhagavad Gita in groups, he feels very happy. So now I can also feel that happiness when all of you are studying. Bhagavad Gita like that in groups. So please continue meeting like that. All right. So today we'll go from verse 2.54 to the end of this chapter. Anyone who doesn't have Bhagavad Gita here? Kavesh, is that your iPad has got Bhagavad Gita? Very good. Rajaram Prabhu, you have. Anyone who doesn't have access to Bhagavad Gita? Okay, so can someone share with Mataji? Okay. Again, children need to be kept quiet at all points in time. If they make noise, please take them out immediately. Do not wait for others to tell. Text 54. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? How does he speak and what is his language? How does he sit and how does he walk? Yamuna, do you want to?
As there are symptoms for each and every man in terms of his particular situation, similarly, one who is Krishna conscious has his particular nature, talking, walking, thinking, feeling, etc. As a rich man has his symptoms by which he is known as a rich man, as a diseased man has his symptoms by which he is known as diseased, or as a learned man has his symptoms, so a man in transcendental consciousness of Krishna has specific symptoms in various dealings. One can know his specific symptoms from the Bhagavad Gita. Most important is how the man in Krishna consciousness speaks, for speech is the most important quality of any man. It is said that a fool is undiscovered as long as he does not speak, and certainly a well-dressed fool cannot be identified unless he speaks. But as soon as he speaks, he reveals himself at once. The immediate symptoms of a Krishna conscious man is that he speaks only of Krishna and of matters relating to him. Other symptoms then automatically follow as stated below.
What are the points here?
Speech is important body of the man.
Speech is the
important body of any man.
Importance of
preaching.
Importance of preaching.
So once you start preaching, then
at
least to, you know, maintain the standard
you'll be practicing.
Is that what means by the last sentence?
Yeah, that is one of the aspects. Yes.
The immediate symptom of the Krishna conscious person is being spoken here. He only speaks about Krishna.
Arjuna is asking Krishna, like, though the activity may be the same, the man of Krishna consciousness may be talking just like others. How do we know? Why is asking? So how do we judge his consciousness? Though the talk may be the same. And yeah, that is explained by Prabhupada in the purport that he only speaks of Krishna and nothing else.
Yeah. Any other points?
Different people have different symptoms. Similarly, the person in Krishna consciousness have symptoms which are unique to Krishna consciousness.
Okay. I think in this verse, the word Sita Padna is very significant, because we always think that even when we are practicing, we think that we are devotees, we come to the temple, you know, we get to life. Now, Prabhupada is trying to make a point that how do we identify ourselves to not just the world, to ourselves as devotees. So to act in such a way that is pleasing to Krishna. So, your preaching, your behavior, everything should make a point that the devotees are the world, not just an instrument, but instrument as well.
Nice point. Yeah. So there's a lot of personal application for all of us here, because we call ourselves as devotees. Anything else? Gunamani Mataji, you have been in sync with whatever has happened thus far? You've been able to hear all the classes?
But some of the classes towards the end, it just doesn't go forward.
What is it?
Like, for example, the last class before, like the last 10 minutes, just doesn't play. It has happened a few times.
So any such issues, please bring it to the notice of Shivanand Prabhu.
Is it audio or video?
Yeah.
Audio, five or video?
I think audio is the last thing.
The video is always fine.
Okay, so whatever it is, just sort it out offline. Yeah? And if it's still not resolved, let me know. We can keep a tab on that issue. Alright. Anything else? Tarun Prabhu? You had a...
You cannot keep a person... When whatever is the consciousness, it has to come out of one's mouth at some point or other, no matter how much the person will try. At some point, that will reflect the 50-50 or whatever. You can judge his consciousness by what is going on, how and what is talking all the time.
Okay. So, if you go back to verse number 53 in your book, the last verse ended. When Lord Krishna is instructing Arjuna, he says, when your mind is no longer disturbed by the flowery language of the Vedas. Just imagine. So Vedas can actually disturb someone's mind. We thought something else. Vedas is bona fide scripture. So here it is said, when your mind is no longer disturbed by the flowery language of the Vedas, and when it seems fixed in trance of self-realization, then you will have attained the divine consciousness. So the mind should not be disturbed by the flowery language of the Vedas, and it should be fixed in trance of self-realization. Those are the words that Lord is using. Then you would have attained the divine consciousness. And that is called as, that state is called as Samadhi. And such a person who is fixed as such is called as Stita Pragya. So today's whole set of verses is about the symptoms of such a liberated soul, Stita Pragya. So Arjuna is asking, such a Stita Pragya, which you mentioned in the earlier verse, who is not disturbed by the flowery language of the Vedas, how does he walk, how does he speak, yeah, what is his language, etc., etc. So Arjuna is asking these questions. And today's entire set of verses is Lord Krishna's answer to those questions. But for the last verse, but for the 72nd verse, till the 71st verse, Lord Krishna is answering completely, you know, all these questions. So Stita Pragya means a person who is in divine consciousness. Now, the Vedas deal with four subject matters. What are those? Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. So a person who is reading the Vedas can get attached to either of this and therefore get agitated. Even a person who is seeking liberation all the time can also be agitated. Why? Because he is not getting that liberation. Right? Whereas a Stita Pragya is a person who neither desires dharma, artha, kama nor liberation. Because a devotee does not desire even liberation, therefore a devotee is comfortable in any situation of life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Ashanti. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ata Eva Shanta. Only a person who is having Nishkama Bhakti, whose mind is not at all agitated with the desire for sense gratification, liberation, economic development, right, or mundane religion, only such a person can remain sober in any situation because he does not want anything. Vedas is meant for people who want something from the Lord. So there are two types of people, the law breakers and the law abiders. Both want something. Law breakers also want sense gratification. Law abiders also want sense gratification. Law breakers are those people who are atheistic and they have no faith in the scriptures. So therefore, they try to attain sense gratification outside of the domain of scriptures. But there are law abiders who faithfully study the Vedas, but still they also want something. Only thing is that they are abiding by the law for sense gratification. But a sthita pragya is completely different. A sthita pragya does not want any of these four things. His only desire is to be always in divine consciousness. That's all. So he doesn't desire anything material. He has got nothing to do with this material world. And therefore such a person is peaceful. Even siddha purushas, it is said, are not peaceful. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami. Kami means sense gratifier. Liberation, people who want liberation, and people who even have mystic powers. People who have mystic powers, what is their biggest fear? When are they going to lose it? Because by the power of time, they are going to again fall back into this material world from Siddha Loka. So they are also Ashanti. When they fall back, they are not able to practice that in this material world. It's like, I was hearing a lecture by Bhakti Brihat Bhagavat Maharaj. He says it's just like a switch. The fan is on and then the switch is switched off. So the current is no longer there, but still the fan is rotating for some time. Slowly, and then cutter, it just comes to a stop. So like that, these people who are in Siddha Loka, when they have, their time is up in Siddha Loka, they fall down into the material world. So no longer are they able to practice, because in this material world, it's very difficult to practice mystic yoga. So when they fall down, they are not able to practice. But because they have practiced, because of the inertia of the fan, for some time they display all these big things. And for a common man, when the common man sees that, he thinks, oh, Bhagawan has come. Bhagawan Shri so and so Baba, they will say. Okay? Because just because he is displaying some of those vestiges or remnants of skills that he had. Right? But at the end of the day, these people are always in anxiety, because they are only respected and adored for their ability, not for their devotion. For their abilities, external abilities which they show. So they are always in fear that when I lose my external ability, how can I retain my popularity? How will people continue seeing me as God? So what they do? Immediately, to be in the center of popular activities, they start doing philanthropy. Philanthropy is a very easy way of getting popularity. So Prabhupada writes, people who fall down like that, they immediately get into philanthropic activities. So you will find this Baba high school, that Baba hospital, so and so. You will find all these things happening. So that is the fall down. So even the siddhis are ashanti. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakali, ashanti. It is only Krishna. Again, I forgot the word. Krishna bhakta nishkama atayeva shanta. So nishkama. So there is no material desires. So only such a person is actually called as a sthita pragya, or one in divine consciousness. So another definition of sthita pragya is a self-realized person who is always acting on the platform of buddhi yoga. And we have discussed enough of buddhi yoga in the earlier classes. So in this set of verses, Arjuna is asking a question. He is asking many questions. So in 2.55, which is the next verse, the general symptoms of such a liberated person is discussed. In 2.56 and 57, how does he speak is answered. Okay. In 2.58 and 2.59, how does he sit is answered. And in 2.64 till 2.71, how does he walk is answered. Now, we have to be careful sometimes. In the scriptures use a lot of metaphors. Okay? So when they say how a devotee walks, it doesn't mean the devotee, you know, walks with his stomach inside and his chest out. And, you know, it's not exactly like that. Okay? Like walking on a ramp or something like that. It is not, the word walk is not literally walk. I don't know, in Hindi they say, kaise pesh aata hai? How does he conduct himself? So he's asking in many different ways, walk, sit, etc. But it exactly doesn't mean a devotee sits in this way, a non-devotee, oh see, he's sitting this way, so non-devotee. It's not like that. So we should not take it literally. So there are different aspects of a devotee which is being discussed in these verses. So, although these questions seem to deal with external behavior, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Acharya, he has revealed the inner meaning of these questions, which we will see. Prabhupada also says that a fool is not discovered till he opens his mouth. Right? So there are two ways of looking at it. For example, when we go to, you know, many programs where new people are coming. Sometimes you have new people, no? So you address these new people. Today also, you know, we did a program in Dandenong where some new people were there. So one of our Bhakti Vriksha members, Mill Park members, he established altar, ISKCON altar in his house. And he lives in Dandenong. So then we went there. Now in his house, he called all his new friends, new Indian families. Mostly all Telugu families were there. Very nice people. But when we opened the Bhagavad Gita, you know, we got 16th chapter, Divine and Demonic Consciousness. No? So we saw that. And then the verse was on duty. Lord Krishna specifically talks about duty. Where Lord Krishna says that one should know what is one's duty and one should also know what is not one's duty. From where? From the scriptures. That's what the verse says. Lord says from the scriptures you must know what's your duty and what is not your duty. And after knowing, one should act on those scriptures. Only if you act after knowledge, then you can elevate yourself. So that was the verse. So we threw a question open to everyone. What do you think is the duty? And we got very innovative answers from the audience. Different people have different views of what is duty, right? So, and some people you will always find, of course today there were not many people like that in this program. In today's program, you know, people were, you know, a little bit sober. But sometimes in other programs we find that there is at least one person who is trying to, you know, who is doing desperate actions to get, you know, attention. So he will give some very innovative answers, you know. So these people, they try to floor you with their answers like that. So they'll come up with something really arbitrary like that. Okay. So there we come to know. A fool is not known unless he speaks. They think they are speaking poetry. But a devotee knows that, you know, oh my God, we'll have to do a lot of work on this person because he's the person who's speaking the most. In fact, the people who are sometimes sober, we think that it's easy to cultivate them. The person who is more of the yapper cock, you know, the yap. Then those persons are little bit, you know, you have to work on them more like that. Because they want to impress others with something. But actually they speak nonsense. And you know that. Because through scriptures we know what it is. But they don't know. But they think they are giving something very innovative. Okay. So fool is not known. So that is one aspect. The other aspect is, we have to understand that we have to, as much as we understand this verse, a devotee always thinks that he or she is a fool. We are all meant to think like that, isn't it? Devotees always must think that we are fool number one, right? So, while it is fine to do that, but it still doesn't mean that we should not take responsibility when we are asked to give a class. We should not say, oh Prabhu, I am unqualified, you know, I am a very humble person, so, you know, I don't have the audacity to give a class like that. So which also means that people who are giving class are probably less humble than the people who are refusing to give class. It actually means that, isn't it? Because somebody is not giving class, that means he is thinking that I am very humble and I am feeling unqualified. But actually, that was not Prabhupada's mood. Prabhupada's mood that each and every devotee of mine should be able to give class at a minute's notice. That was Prabhupada's mood. So, we are afraid to expose our lack of knowledge to others so that we can, you know, because of this, a fool is not known unless he starts speaking. So sometimes, even after becoming devotees, we can suffer from this syndrome that my image will go away if I start speaking. Because people will come to know how less I know of the scriptures. Because I may stumble and fumble and whatever. And by chance, if there is a question, then I feel like digging a hole and going inside the ground. You know, like that. So therefore, all these fears are there. But actual humility is what? That is okay, even if people laugh at us, people mock at us, it doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, our duty is to please, Srila Prabhupada, our duty is to go ahead and conduct the mission. So we have to keep all our shyness and whatever outside the window. And then be bold to present Srila Prabhupada's philosophy. So it is not humility not to speak. For example, sometimes people do Maun Vrat. Right? They say that, okay, for 2 days, I'm not going to talk to anyone. In fact, I heard, you know, today also I saw someone devotee saying that I'm keeping Maun till, tomorrow I will not speak. Of course, he didn't say that. He indicated like that to somebody. No? But actual Maun is what? What is actual Maun? Srila Prabhupada never believed in Maun Vrat and all these things. What is actual Maun? Actual Maun means talking about Krishna. When you talk only about Krishna, that is actually Maun Vrat, not being silent.
Being Maun about mundane things.
Yeah, being Maun on mundane things, yes. We can follow Maun. Maun means silence. We can follow silence in discussing, you know, Michael Jackson, in discussing, you know, film stars, in discussing different games on the iPad. In these aspects, we can have practice. Maun Vrat. We don't have to share with others. You know what? I have this exciting game on the iPad. What do you think? Oh, yeah, let's all jam up and let's play like that. So, in these matters, if we are silent, then that is called as real Maun Vrat. And speaking always about Krishna. So the Maun Vrat is very nicely explained in the Chatushloki of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Machita Madgata Prana Bodhayanta Parasparam. Gurunanadi Prabhu is lecturing about that in this morning's class. Katayantascha Mam Nityam Tushyanticha Ramanticha. So whenever devotees come together, they only talk about Krishna. That is real Maun Vrat. The moment we start talking about other things, then that is not Maun. That is not real Maun. So devotional life is not about inaction. It's not about not using our senses. It is about using our senses in the service of the Lord. Have we done the tortoise example or is it coming today?
Coming.
It's coming today. Yeah. Today we'll talk about that more. Okay. So yeah. So we have to analyze in our own lives. No. What is the percentage of sthita pragya that we are? And what is the percentage of sthita pragya we are not? In terms of how we talk. So it's a very good analysis of ourselves. We don't need to consult any senior devotee or not talk to anyone. If we simply analyze, what am I talking nowadays? And what do I like to hear nowadays? We'll get an excellent understanding of our own consciousness and how fallen we are. We don't need to validate this with anyone. Right? The moment we develop a taste for hearing masala dar khabar. You know what is masala dar khabar? Masala dar khabar means spicy news in the congregation. The moment we have a taste for spicy news in the congregation and like to discuss and chew on that, then we know that we are not sthita pragya. Right? So this analysis we can ourselves do. So we will know how far we are from this standard where one should be. Any points? Yes. A devotee can be of three types: Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Uttam Adhikari. Usually, by going by the descriptions, we can reckon that what is being talked about is an Uttam Adhikari right now. Siddha Pragya, who is undisturbed. A Madhyam Adhikari is still disturbed. How? Because Madhyam Adhikari does what? Prema, Maitri, Kripa, and Upeksha. Prema, Maitri, Kripa, Upeksha, yaha karoti sa Madhyama. So Madhyam Adhikari still is disturbed with non-devotee association. But Prabhupada went to the Bori, New York's most, you know, fallen place, right? And Prabhupada was completely undisturbed. He didn't see any difference between the person who is sitting in front and eagerly listening Bhagavatam class or that fellow who has, you know, just had LSD and who is entering the class. Prabhupada saw all of them as spirit souls, completely equipoised among those people. We can imagine if we are giving a class and if, you know, hippies are sitting and some people are on high on LSD, you know, will we be able to give class? It's something which we have to ask ourselves. How much motivation we will have? We'll say, Prabhu, you know, little bit, no, I'll excuse myself. There are not serious people, no, so I don't want. But Prabhupada didn't think like that. So there is a difference between. You had a point?
The example is given off. Shripala says a person who is very mouthy, so he was still trying to communicate. He was writing on the board and what he wants and what he wants to say. So Prabhupada says that this is not called as mana or this only a mundane material way of understanding. It is not the gross mana or this, what we have to practice separately. That means still in mind everything is going on. Only thing is you are not speaking of. So this is
of no use.
So Prabhupada said, this is how we have to purify and
correct. And that's also coming out very nicely. So if you see, sthita pragya means divine consciousness. So it's the internal consciousness which defines whether it's a sthita pragya or not. Externally we can still be very controlled. For example, I want to blaspheme this devotee, my tongue is itching, but I'm controlling it. Hari bol Prabhu. No, that's all I'm ending up saying him. Right? Actually, I want to give him a piece of my mind. Okay, that is not sthita pragya because internally that agitation is going on. right? So it's about internal. But still, obviously, no, devotees are told, at least practice externally first. So don't let that frog not come out of the mouth. Like that. Okay. But internally, when we feel no animosity for anyone, then we can be very peaceful. Because you don't hate anyone, you don't have undue material attachment for anyone. You see everyone as spirit soul. So you are very... It's okay. It doesn't matter. Like... that day, His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj was doing a program in somebody's house, and one of the devotees, I was washing hands. He also came to the bathroom. He said, "Prabhu, Maya, Prabhu, Maya. Pura world mein, jagat mein Maya. I'm fed up, you know, of people who are in Maya." Now he's saying the whole world is full of people in Maya. I'm fed up with people in Maya. So this is very nice sentiment, but we have to understand we are also in Maya. Isn't it? Obviously, I didn't tell that person. I said, "Yeah, I understand." That's what I said. And I came out. So different people are at different stages. So we think that whole world is in Maya. And then he's also asking me, "How, Prabhu? How? How are these people so much in Maya? I don't understand this." Okay. So whereas a sthita pragya will think what? That I am in Maya, like that. Okay. So therefore, when we constantly meditate or on our own anarthas, only then it is possible to be accepting of other devotees. Otherwise it is not possible. So we have to always see, look inside us all the time, where I am with regard to the standards. And then we will not have any much proclivity for blaspheming others. And that and by constant contemplation that way, then we can become more and more sober. Like that. Okay. 55. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "O Parth, when a man gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification, which arise from mental concoction, and when his mind, thus purified, finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness." Who wants to read? Subhiksha Mataji, you want to read?
The Bhagavatam affirms that any person who is truly in Krishna consciousness or devotional service of the Lord has all the good qualities of the great sages. That is, a person who is not so transcendentally situated has no good qualifications because he is sure to be taking refuge in his own mental concoction. Consequently, it is rightly said herein that one has to give up all kinds of sense desire manufactured by mental concoction artificially. Artificially, such sense desires cannot be stopped. But if one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, then automatically sense desires subside without extraneous efforts. Therefore, one has to engage himself in Krishna consciousness without hesitation, for this devotional service will instantly help one onto the platform of transcendental consciousness. The highly developed soul always remains satisfied in himself by realizing himself as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord. Such a transcendentally situated person has no sense desires resulting from petty materialism. Rather, he remains always happy in his natural position of eternally serving the Supreme Lord.
What are the points here?
Sense desires cannot be artificially stopped. The only way to do that is if one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, then automatically they subside. But any artificial means, they will still exist.
Can we call this person an Atma Rama?
Yes.
Shri Prabhupada is mentioning that a person who is not transcendentally situated has no good qualification because he is sure to take refuge in his own mental concoctions. So he is indicating here that the process of Krishna consciousness actually helps us right from the root get rid of our mental concoctions, you know, our various desires, and we are always thinking that what I am doing, you know, just in the material world, we are just concocting that this is the goal of my life. But actually the process starts
we start questioning our very existence. Good point. Srila Prabhupada
is saying that satisfaction cannot happen from anything outside. So it can only happen when the soul is transformed into, when the soul is given its food.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
it's said in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's just a Bhakti Bhakti Rakhinchana. Sarva is Gune, Satra Samasate, Sura, Adava, Pudo Mahatma, Manora Tena, Siti Bhavatu, Davatu Bhakti. Like all the good qualities will occur in devotees, whereas the non-devotees, they act on their mental concoctions, so good qualities cannot be there.
Yeah. Anything else? Okay. So, the moment a devotee starts practicing devotional service, there are different characteristics of bhakti. The first characteristic is klesha agni. Klesha agni means relief from material distress. Klesha agni. So, if you that we'll study that when we come to nectar of devotion. Wherein all the kleshas that we have, those are burnt like fire. So this is the first characteristic. And Prabhupada mentions in that section, bijam, putam, aprarabdam, prarabdam, all those things get burnt off. The second characteristic is called as shubhada. Shubhada means all the saintly qualities manifest in the body of a devotee as a devotee keeps on practicing devotional service. So that is what is mentioned here. So a devotee gets all the good qualities. And intelligence also, transcendental intelligence. Whereas, a person who is not a devotee, harau abhakta. Abhakta means non-devotee. Harau is coming from the word hari. Harau abhakta, kuto mahat guna. From where come, such good qualities can manifest in a non-devotee. Not possible. Mano rathena, mankarath. Chariot of the mind. Mano rathena, dhavato bahi. No? Here is running on the chariot of the mind, such a person. So that is not possible for such a person. To get good qualities, transcendental qualities. So, a devotee is always engaged in activities of Krishna consciousness. He has no other desire. Rupa Goswami defines that as pure devotional service in Nectar of Devotion, where he says, pure devotional service is what? Anya Abhilashita, Shunyam, Jnana Karmadi, Anavratam. So, Anya Abhilasha. There is no other desire of a devotee other than working for the pleasure of Krishna. Shunyam, anya abhilashita, shunyam. Any other desire is zero. Jnana karmadi anavritam. He is not interested in speculative knowledge. In fact, at some point in time, devotees are not even... Prabhupada said too much of reading books is also not very desirable. Right? One must read a lot of scriptures, but only reading and not practicing anything can also give a false ego. How nicely I can quote slokas, how knowledgeable I have become in the scriptures, you know, all those things. Again, the whole purpose of reading the scriptures is to get humility. But at the end of the day, one can still get pride. And there are various symptoms of such pride which will come. Where we will try to supersede a higher authority. Okay, or in an assembly, in a big classroom, then always, you know, we are, you know, trying to, you know, show our knowledge of the scriptures. Even when a Maharaj is speaking or something like that, immediately we are giving our own purports and Maharaj is talking. These kind of tendencies can be there. And sometimes we can observe. This is very dangerous. Isn't it? So therefore, a devotee does not even have too much attachment to the knowledge that a devotee has gained. And jnana karmadi anavartam. Devotee is not interested also in fruitive activities. For example, in one of the Bhakti Vrikshas, there is one, no, somebody who is coming regularly. The person is chanting very nicely, came up, I think probably came to 16 rounds also. But somehow the person has got this idea that I want to work for the refugees in Melbourne. Okay, so and then saying that, okay, now I will work for the refugees. So the person is saying, I will not come for Bhakti Vriksha from now because I have got important duty. They have made me the chairperson of the refugee committee or something like that. For to work for refugee welfare. Okay. So the mind can be very tricky. The mind can take up such services where we are given a prominent position. Apparently the activity is for others' welfare. Now the question is, if we were not made chairman, will we work for refugee committee? That's a different issue. Right? Everyone likes, like, I'm chairman of this committee, I'm chairperson and president of this committee and whatever, whatever. So sometimes the mind can be very tricky. Or devotee is not interested even in all these mundane activities, right? In one sense, all of us are refugees in the material world. We have to take the ultimate refugee is who? Who takes refuge of Lord Krishna. So what refugee welfare we are talking about? Refugees will come. If through boat they will come, tomorrow they will come swimming. What can you and I do about it? We can't do anything about it. Right? So there is no point in leaving devotional service and then doing it. Along with devotional service, if we can bring the devotional flavor to solutions for refugees, then that is Yukta Vairagya. Then we are taking something which is scriptural and applying it there in a material situation, which is very good if we do that. But saying that I will not come for programs because I am engaged in that activity, I am chairperson, that means the person is completely lost. Right? So they will go nowhere. What will happen after some time? Person will get frustrated. Even if they succeed in the chairperson, somebody else will be, envious of that position, they will pull that chair from under our, wherever we are sitting, they will pull and they will sit there. And then the person will start lamenting, oh, I did so much, there is no God, I did so much for the refugees. So this is what will happen. And whatever little faith is also there, will go away. So a devotee is not even interested in these philanthropic activities. So the devotee is completely satisfied. It is said that just engaging in the service of Krishna itself is enough for the devotee. And the devotee's mind is as calm as an ocean. The mind will give various suggestions from various directions. So Prabhupada gives an example, like an ocean is receiving water from river, from here, from that river, from that river, from that river. If you see, the river is very agitated. Shh, it's coming like that. But when it merges into the ocean, then peace, like that. So our mind is like that. It is coming from various directions. But a sthita pragya is one who is able to absorb all this of the mind and tell the mind, thank you very much, but please shut up. Just stay there. Peaceful. Not reactive to the demands of the mind all the time. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said, in the morning everyone must get up and beat the mind with a shoe or a stick. What did he say? With a chappal. Yeah. With a shoe, one must beat the mind. How many times? 100 times. Yeah. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami said this. Beat with the shoe. Tell it to keep quiet. Like that. Okay. Now, this point is very important to understand. So our bhakti must be such that our bhakti must actually lead us to being happy in Krishna consciousness. Please understand this point. Srila Prabhupada, I heard in some lecture that Srila Prabhupada mentioned that it is very difficult for a common man to become a devotee. Devotee itself is a very rare phenomenon in today's society, that somebody is devotee, right? We have to spill tons of blood to make one person into a devotee. So that itself is very rare. So becoming a devotee in this material world is very rare. Remaining a devotee for many years is even more rare. So you will find devotees will come, they will shave off their head. After 10 weeks they will come with beard. Again after 15 weeks they will again shave. Again they will come with mustache. Again they will shave. Then suddenly they will wear saffron. Suddenly they will remove saffron. Again they will wear saffron. So remaining steady in bhakti is even more difficult. But most difficult is what? You can remain in devotional service also. But most difficult is what? Remaining happy in devotional service. We can still remain. I have been many years in this temple. No? We can be 25 years in this temple and be grumpy. It's possible, entirely possible. Right? We know of one person in Toronto who used to come. 25 years he has been coming to the temple. He is so frustrated. No, he has some problems with the management all the time. So he will bring his own agarbatti and aarti. And from outside he will start offering. So why you are offering here? Inside the pujari is already doing aarti. No, I don't want all that. I will offer myself. I am not aligned with anybody in this temple. Rejects the pujari. So he will do his own aarti. And he thinks that is bhakti. So when we came to Toronto, then he said that, he came for one of our bhakti vriksha class. He said, I have one doubt, is Krishna Supreme Personality of Godhead or not? And then we told him, then because I was also a new preacher at that time. So I told him, Prabhu, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. In Brahma Samhita is given, in Bhagavatam this is written, part, everything. And then he came after the class and he told me, nobody has explained the way that you have explained. I'm completely convinced that Lord Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead today. And I was also telling him, see what I achieved. Senior devotees here, they told me, don't meddle with this man. See, so many senior devotees are there here. Why nobody has been able to tell these verses to him? Look how I told him. Now he is convinced. And after that, I lived in Toronto for 2 years, 2.5 years. While going, last Bhakti Shastri class, Bhakti Vriksha class. I still have doubt, Prabhu. And then I understood. I said, no. I am a fool. I am the fool here. Not you. I am the fool. Krishna taught me. So this can happen. This can happen. People will come for years and not be happy at all. Grumpy. Because no relationship means no shiksha. There is no faith in any devotee. Right? So stay aloof from the congregation and try to go back to Godhead. Is it possible? It's not possible. You can't stay aloof in a congregation and go back to Godhead. Saying that, no, I'll not get into all the politics. I'll just be at home. I'll just come in the evening. I'll take darshan. I'll go back. I'll not talk to anyone. Is it possible like that? Even if we think that devotees are political. See, everyone thinks that others are political. Correct? Everyone thinks there is too much politics in this temple. But everyone is saying there is too much politics. That means who is political and who is not political? Everyone is saying like that. A person who is political also is saying there is too much politics. So that means all of us, to some extent, are all political. Right? And so are the others also. So if we accept the simple reality that all of us are duplicitous, we all suffer from lust, anger, envy, greed, pride, then it is very easy to gel with the congregation. Because everyone is like that only. Correct? Of course, in degrees we may vary. So we learn from people. Oh, that person is a little bit less lusty than I am. So let me take that person. Prabhu, how to overcome lust like that? Okay. Or how to overcome greed? Okay. So go to Karunanidhi Prabhu. Ask him, Prabhu, how to live simply? Well, he's an example. Very good example in the congregation. How to live simple. Right? So we take shelter of. You know? So we see the good qualities in other devotees and we try to learn. So, but... And that's how when we start recognizing the seniority of other devotees, when we start recognizing the good qualities in other devotees, then we will become peaceful in the congregation. Otherwise, we'll always be at conflicts with everyone. And years will go by in Krishna consciousness and we will not be happy. We will be there in Krishna consciousness. We will be chanting. At least out of fear, we'll start chanting. Because earthquake, tsunami will attack anytime. Prabhupada says, but death will attack anytime. And Prabhupada said, my devotees are all cursed that they will never enjoy the material life. Right? So we will never enjoy material life anyway. So we will be chanting, etc. But we will still not, Rati will not manifest in our heart. Rati has to manifest. We will never move into the realm of spontaneous love for the Lord if we don't have spontaneous attachment for every devotee of the Lord. It is not possible. Right? Because for the Lord, the devotee is very dear. So unless we improve our relationships in the congregation, we cannot remain aloof and then expect that we will, you know, go back to Godhead like that. So Prabhupada therefore said that it is very difficult for a person to be a devotee. It's very more difficult for a person to remain a devotee and most difficult for a person to remain always happy purely by doing bhakti. We need so many things to be happy. For example, I like Damodara Ashtakam very well, provided at least I get one opportunity to sing in the evening. On the, you know, I must grab that mic before others are sitting. The mind is agitated, thinking, oh, who is sitting there? Oh, let's go. Prabhu, jaldi mic, quick, bring mic quickly. Ah, Namamishwaram. And then some other Mataji is sitting or Prabhu is sitting. How come that person landed up here? Today I had the desire to sing. You know, why don't they understand? No, like, so therefore, the activity of Damodara Ashtakam and offering the candles to the Lord, that is going away. Even when we are offering to the candle, we are saying, oh, that person is singing wrong tune. How nicely I would have sung if I would have sung that. The candle is moving. So that candle moving, that offering incense to the Lord or candle to the Lord itself, that activity is not enough to keep me happy. I need something else to keep me happy. So that is a problem. So we are attached, our services itself, we are attached to some specific services. Why that Mataji is doing Wednesday garland service now? It was my, why that person took my flowers? I had kept those flowers like that. So the activity of just offering flowers to the Lord is not enough. It must be that I must make a specific garland for a specific deity and these are my flowers, these are not your flowers. That is the kind of problem. So the activity itself is not giving joy. What is happening? That activity, the flower fight itself is creating friction amongst devotees. Whereas what should happen actually? Lord Krishna must be so pleased with the cooperation amongst devotees, he will come out and say, please, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. Out of love, you guys please offer me flower. Not out of friction, offering me flower. Okay? There may be excellence in the garland, which may come out of the friction between many devotees. So Lord Krishna, you can imagine, how he will feel wearing such a garland. So therefore, sometimes we can forget the essence of bhakti and therefore never be happy. We will have problems with devotees all the time. We want to be the center of attention. sometimes. Unless we are given some particular position of control, then that service doesn't attract us too much. Unless I am given responsibility for crowd control, I don't think crowd control is happening properly. No, like that. For example, if I am in charge, I am able to control everyone, then that is fine. Otherwise, then I am not interested in the service. Make me in charge. Like that. Okay. So, the desire for respect, honor, recognition, insecurities that someone will take away my credit. Correct? So, all these things. When Anirudh Prabhu is announcing, we want to thank the lot of members who volunteered for Janmashtami, the mind is thinking, oh my God, please tell my name. I did that service. I hope he doesn't forget my Krishna. Like that. So, this is also another desire. This can come. Because, Prabhu, you saw me, I was there. You know, like that. And so the mind is, you know, it's roaming here and there. Some recognition will come somewhere. People will understand how much I am doing for this congregation, like that. So the activity is not giving me pleasure. But if you see an excellent example we have in the congregation, and therefore there are many, please do not misunderstand me. I am giving you one example. There may be many like that. Is Jagannath Vallabh Prabhu. If you see him, sometimes I just keep looking at him. You know, looking at him itself is yoga. You just look like that. He's sitting in the backyard and keeping on cutting. And he's blissful. The sheer activity of sitting in the that near that, you know, storage area. Nobody sees him cutting most of the time. But he's very happy. So when I see that such a person, then I'm thinking, wow, what is this? This is actually Sthita Pragya. A person who is completely Atmaram. He's completely happy that he's cutting for the Lord. Not that, you know, I cut or later on coming and asking, how was it? Like that. Oh, you made. Ah, very good, Prabhu. No, not like that. Just happy, that's all. No need for anyone to know who did what, like that. It's very difficult. So, I'm talking about myself. I have to learn. I can't be like that. I need some recognition. Like that. Okay. Even Gangeshwar Prabhu, if you see. Gangeshwar Prabhu also, very, very sober personality. He'll just be sitting in one corner and going on doing yagya after yagya after yagya. Not that, you know, he's coming and showing off his knowledge or, you know, I'm doing so many things. No, not like Prabhudas Prabhu, excellent example in our temple. Such a senior devotee, you know. He knows each and every brick of this temple. Emmanuel was that day telling me, you know, so carefully he's watering the plants and he's taking care of every single aspect. So many wonderful devotees who stay in the background always. He never has imposed himself on anyone, you know, that I am Prabhupada disciple or I'm a senior devotee. Or always staying in the background. Even some lecture is going on, he'll be very silent. Sometimes he'll ask a question of people who, you know, maybe lesser realized than him. You know, in one of the classes, he was asking me a question and I'm thinking, what am I going to say to this person? It's many lifetimes before I come to his consciousness. And who am I to answer his questions? But still, he's very humble. He's asking questions like that. So these are all very inspiring for us. So these are people who are inherently very happy. Rupa Raghunath Prabhu, another example, you know, in the Sydney congregation of a book distribution. Kesha Prabhu always keeps saying, from a very wealthy family, but, you know, he's got a big house. But he's never in that house. He's always keeping this house as a, you know, storage for Prabhupada's books. And full day he's out distributing books. Day in and day out he's been doing service. And that service itself is giving him so much of joy. He doesn't care if he's the top book distributor. He doesn't care about scores or anything like that. His joy, it's the activity itself is so pleasing. And when we reach that stage, then that is called as when the activity itself gives us joy. Without us needing any other external stimuli. Other activity. That is called as Sthita Pragya. Only then that. So internally the person is so happy that nothing is agitating externally. Whether you get credit or not. No. I'm serving Krishna. It's so wonderful. Let me do it. Like that. So that is the essence of what Prabhupada is writing here in this verse. Yeah.
Sometimes the activity itself becomes like, you know, routine. We don't seem to be enjoying the activity. It becomes like something that we do out of a routine thing rather than you enjoy the activity. Like if you're doing that service, any service, if you're doing it, you start to think, oh, you know that service well, you know how, and it becomes mechanical in a sort of way. So how do you like sort of and start to enjoy that service rather than becoming mechanical?
Okay, it's a very advanced question you're asking. It's beyond my realization, but I'll still answer your question. From whatever I have heard from the senior devotees, that joy in service will. Service has to be accompanied by constant hearing. If we are not hearing lectures enough, if we are not taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada's books, three things have to go. And we have discussed it many times in our Bhakti Vriksha also. Sadhana, Seva and Sadachar. Three things have to go together, hand in hand. So our sadhana has to be pakka. If we are not hearing lectures enough, then we will lose our, then that is when our regular service starts becoming mundane. It becomes a regular activity. It becomes a core rather than a service. So we have to constantly hear, because when we are constantly hearing from spiritual master is reminding us how rare it is to get a service of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes we may see service as a burden. But when we hear from spiritual master, we suddenly realize, oh, hang on, it's not a burden. I'm privileged to work for Srila Prabhupada. I'm privileged to serve the Lord. I'm privileged to be washing his pots like that. So that reminder, for me personally, it benefits when I hear lectures of various spiritual masters. Not only my spiritual master, anybody for that matter. Sometimes you can hear Kadamakanan Maharaj lectures, sometimes you hear Radhanath Swami, you hear Devamrita Swami. So these people will remind. So you can imagine, because they are also living their life like that. They are frequently traveling. They have nothing like day and night, jet lag, nothing is there for them. And going different. For us, when Maharaj comes to Melbourne, Maharaj has arrived in Melbourne for a series of programs. But from Maharaj's point of view, he has just finished a series of programs somewhere else and then come to another place to do another series of programs. So if you see from his point of view, he is doing the same service again and again and again in different countries. So how do they retain that? They retain that because of strong sadhana, which means they hear constantly the lectures of their spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. So we must also hear the lectures of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada and get inspiration. So then we are constantly reminded about how privileged we are to be, to do that service like that. That is what works personally. Whenever I do that, it works with me. Whenever I don't do that, it doesn't work with me. I also feel the same way, that, you know, I can relate to what you're saying. Sometimes even when I, you know, keep going for week 1, week 2, week 72, week 80, you know, keeping on, you know, doing the, because for me personally, preaching is my main service which I have taken. Preaching and teaching is the main service I have taken. So continuously, you know, sometimes it can, oh, okay, another week, week 8, week 9, week 10. So it can become a bit drab. So then, but when we hear that Prabhupada is very pleased, or when we simply hear Lord Krishna says that I am most pleased with someone who is preaching my message, when we hear from spiritual master, we say, oh my God, actually, you know, we are serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement here. So we suddenly get reminded of the higher goals like that. And then we do our service with a lot of vigor on that day. On that day our preaching will be a bit special. People will come and tell you also, oh, today's class was a little bit good. Because automatically it will come from the heart like that. That day you will realize, you know, you have done well in that service. Okay, anything else? One who is not disturbed in mind, even amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there is happiness, and one who is free from attachment, fear and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. Arvind Prabhu.
The word muni means one who can agitate his mind in various ways for mental speculation without coming to a factual conclusion. It is said that every muni has a different angle of vision, and unless a muni differs from other munis, he cannot be called muni in the strict sense of the term.
This is the English.
But a sutta-tree muni, as mentioned herein by the Lord, is different from an ordinary muni. The sutta-tree muni is always in Krishna consciousness, for he has exhausted all his business of creative speculation. He is called Prashanta Nishesha Mano Pratantara, or one who has surpassed the stage of mental speculation and has come to the conclusion that Lord Sri Krishna or Vasudeva is everything. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Siddhulabha. He is called a muni fixed in mind. Such a fully Krishna consciousness person is not at all disturbed by the onslaughts of the threefold miseries, for he accepts all miseries as the mercy of the Lord, thinking himself only worthy of more trouble due to his past misdeeds. And he sees that his miseries by the grace of the Lord are minimized to the lowest. Similarly, when he is happy, he gives credit to the Lord, thinking himself unworthy of the happiness. He realizes that it is due only to the Lord's grace that he is in such a comfortable condition and able to render better service to the Lord. And for the service of the Lord, he is always daring and active and is not influenced by attachment or aversion. Attachment means accepting things for one's own sense gratification, and detachment is the absence of such sensual attachment. But once fixed in Krishna consciousness, it has neither attachment nor detachment because its life is dedicated in the service of the Lord. Consequently, he is not at all angry even when his attempts are unsuccessful. Success or no success, a Krishna conscious person is always steady in his determination.
We'll read the next one also and discuss after that. In the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. Kavish, you want to read?
There is always some upheaval in the material world which may be good or evil. One who is not agitated by such material upheavals, who is unaffected by good and evil, is to be understood to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. As long as one is in the material world, there is always a possibility of good and evil, because this world is full of duality. But one who is fixed in Krishna consciousness is not affected by good and evil, because he is simply concerned with Krishna, who is all good absolute. Such consciousness in Krishna situates one in a perfect transcendental position called technically samadhi.
What are the points?
Making point up here with these two verses, so one is not disturbed, his mind amazed of these four miseries. But this material world is very difficult to be aloof from this situation. So Prabhupada also gives an example of darkness. Darkness is a state where the light is not present. So similarly here, Prabhupada is comparing that attachment is a state where we should not be attached to the material activity, but it's not possible to be for one without to be attached. So instead, Prabhupada is mentioning that we have to be detached from those things which we should not be attached to, and then always attached to Krishna.
It's a commentary that better we exhaust the business of creating speculation as soon as possible. If you want to really advance, you can take forever or long or short time. It's better as soon as we can exhaust our food of the speculation, so that's when that person advances.
Okay. So in text 55, the general symptoms question was answered. What are the general symptoms of a Sita Dhirumu? And we saw that in the earlier verse, that he is always engaged in Krishna consciousness, and that is enough to keep him happy, no material desires, etc., etc. Now here, in 56 and 57, how does he speak is answered in the purports of Srila Prabhupada. So how does he speak implies what? So it is mentioned that how does he speak implies how does a devotee deal with affection, anger and neutrality? How does a devotee deal with affection which he receives? How does a devotee deal with anger that he receives? And how does he deal with neutrality? Neutrality also in one sense can mean if someone is giving a cold shoulder to you in the temple, ignoring you, then how do you deal with that? So these are all symptoms of how a devotee speaks, because we don't necessarily speak through our mouth. We can speak through our actions. Our body language itself will know. Sometimes we say, no, Mataji ka kuch bura laga lagta hai. Or Prabhu ji ka kuch bura laga. And he, when I told him, Hari Bol Prabhu, he just said, Hari Bol. And went like that. Kya kiya maine, like that. What did, sorry Mataji, my Hindi will come in between. So what did I do? You are enthusiastically wishing someone and the devotee is very, just giving you a Hari Bol and then moving ahead. So you may wonder what has happened now. Something is wrong with this relationship here. Like that. So how does a devotee speak? So how does a devotee deal with anger, affection, affection, anger and neutrality using intelligence and using words? These are the qualities of a Sthita Dhira Muni. He will always use his intelligence in dealing with situation and he will use his words properly in dealing with the situation. A Sthita Dhira Muni here is mentioned that he is always equipoised in any situation. We saw that, right? Whether extreme happiness or extreme misery, devotee is always equipoised. He accepts everything as the mercy of Lord Krishna. A devotee is completely free from attachment. His devotee is completely free from attachment, from fear, as well as anger. So that is, and because he is free from attachment, fear and anger, he is able to completely fix himself in the service of Krishna. Many times we are not able to fix ourselves in some specific service because we are too attached to that service. So we are not able to fix ourselves. We are constantly thinking, oh, somebody else, what if he takes over that service from me? Or if I don't get credit for that service. Or sometimes we have too much fear of losing a particular service. So we are trying to, you know, defend that service through some political and diplomatic means. Like that. That is also possible. And or sometimes we get too angry while doing a service because we think that we are the ones who are fit to do that service the best. And others are all not good, not up to the mark, like that. And we get angry. We can't tolerate others' imperfections. Right? So, Sthita Dhira Muni, he deals with affection, anger and neutrality using his intelligence words. His only pleasure is in serving the Lord. So he is firmly fixed. So all these things don't affect that person. He is unaffected by good and evil and firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. These are some of the points that are coming across. So there is no duality. He is fixed in the absolute truth. And therefore he is always in samadhi. Such a person is called Sthita Dhira Muni. And Lord Krishna says that such a person has completely exhausted. He is not simply a Muni. He is a Sthita Dhira Muni. What is the difference between Muni and Sthita Dhira Muni? Muni is a person who has got a tendency to speculate about things. Such a person is called as a Muni. They are very knowledgeable and they put some speculation also on top of that. So if you take 5 Munis, right? All 5 Munis will have different opinions. But a Sthita Dhira Muni is one who has come out of his own opinions and speculative propensity, right? So he is simply heard from a spiritual master in disciplic succession and all his questions are answered because he has heard from a bona fide spiritual master. So his mind is completely free from the desire to speculate. So such a person is a Sthita Dhira Muni. And there is a verse also, Prabhupada quote it here, Bahunam Janmanam. Did you read that? It was there, right? Bahunam Janmanam ante Jnanavan Mam Prapadyante Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. After many, many lifetimes of such speculation, finally one understands that the ultimate goal is Krishna. And then such a person surrenders to Krishna. Such a Mahatma is very rare. Like that. So, the Krishna consciousness puts an end to all speculation and puts an end to all different angles of vision, which is characteristic of any Muni. So Prabhupada is just giving those two reports here. Any points here? One who is able to withdraw his senses from sense objects. This is a very important verse, very famous verse. In that sense. One who is able to withdraw his senses from sense objects as the tortoise draws its limbs within the shell is firmly fixed in perfect consciousness. Rachita Mataji, you want to read?
The test of a yogi, devotee or self-realized soul is that he is able to control the senses according to his plan. Most people, however, are servants of the senses and are thus directed by the dictation of the senses. That is the answer to the question as to how the yogi is situated. The senses are compared to venomous serpents. They want to act very loosely and without restriction. The yogi or the devotee must be very strong to control the serpents, like a snake charmer. He never allows them to act independently. There are many injunctions in the revealed scriptures. Some of them are do-nots and some of them are do's. Unless one is able to follow the do's and the do-nots, restricting oneself from sense enjoyment, it is not possible to be firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. The best example set herein is the tortoise. The tortoise can at any moment wind up his senses and exhibit them again at any time for particular purposes. Similarly, the senses of the Krishna conscious persons are used only for some particular purpose. In the service of the Lord, and are withdrawn otherwise. Arjuna is being taught here to use his senses for the service of the Lord instead of for his own satisfaction. Keeping the senses always in the service of the Lord is the example set by the analogy of the tortoise who keeps the senses within.
Very nice purport, Mr. Prabhupada. This is an oft asked question in Bhakti Shastri exams. In the previous exams, at least, I have seen this question always comes. Tortoise example of Prabhupada. Alright, so what are the points here?
Very good example to be used when we are among non devotees and when we have to really disassociate when things are starting to affect our consciousness. So, this is a very good example we can use during those times.
Can you give an example of it?
Especially, I remember Keshav Prabhu gave this example, especially when we are flying long distance flights, when we take from Melbourne to India or something, and you know, we are bombarded with that entertainment box on the plane. So he said at that time we should use this tortoise example, because we immediately get, you know, sucked into all the entertainment which is there on the flight. So that time we should really withdraw our senses inside.
Very good example. Did everyone hear that?
No.
So an example of when a devotee has to withdraw senses is when we are flying to India, you know, then through Malaysian or whatever airlines, then that, you know, yeah, Singapore Airlines, then you have a button in your hand. For many, many years you have been starved of television and movies. Tamil movie is coming, flick, one, what's, I just want to see Prabhu, what's going on? I'm not watching movie, but I just want to see what. Okay, I'll just watch National Geographic, but maybe I'll just click there a little bit. No. So, and then one has watched movie till that time landing. And by that time you land in India, you completely are conscious of the movie like that. Okay. So that can happen. So a devotee has to know when to withdraw the senses like that. At the same time, in office, a devotee has to be, sometimes we have to talk about whether the Geelong one or the, you know, St. Kilda has won. There was some footy match yesterday, right? So because we know that on Monday morning, that will be the topic of intense discussion in office. Did the Saints win or the Devils won or whatever, whatever, right? So at least we should know who won. So we just open and say, oh, Saints have won. And then we go and say, oh my God, the Saints won. You know, I was supporting, depending on who your boss supports. At the end of the day, I don't care about the Saints. I don't care about the Devils. All I'm caring about my job. Because if I don't do my, if I lose my job, then I will have to, I cannot preach, right? Correct? Then I will be searching for a job all the time and I will be in anxiety. So duty is to protect job. So for that reason, if you have to talk a little bit, Saint Kilda, one or two words, you say, oh, I've got frustrated, you know. But these guys have to play better next match, you know. You will not know even what is the color of a footy ball. That's okay. Just say something, just hang around. Because once I remember, my boss told me something, you know, two guys were discussing and they were discussing in front of my seat. And my boss was, I felt that he was, I was not participating in the conversation and he was a bit, you know, not very happy with that. So I asked him, I didn't know, I said, oh yeah, is it, oh, football game, huh? He said, Jagan, forget it, he said. We are talking about you, American baseball, you know. How long have you been in Melbourne? You know, something like that, he told me. And then he walked away from there. Okay. So then, sometimes the expectation is there like that. That, you know, you should know what is his favorite baseball team. So you may not care. So sometimes to protect our jobs, we have to just keep an idea, you know, just to keep a tab on what is happening overall. So that we can speak something, you know. Because people don't appreciate always you speaking about Krishna consciousness to gel with people. But then at the same time, we have to know when to withdraw. Not that we sit and watch, you know, complete footy match. So that in detail we can talk with our boss. No, not like that. Then we'll also get into the habit of watching that. So little bit on top. Okay, who won the Olympic Games? Okay, America, US did gold. Oh, the US just beat China. That much you must know. That's all. But not that we are sitting and watching the Olympics. Okay, no, whatever, that synchronized swimming or whatever. No, it's a waste of time. Right? It's a waste of time, it's a waste of money. We all know that. But then we have to know what's happening. So, a devotee has to know when to be worldly. A devotee has to immediately know when to be very internal. So, usually, a devotee externally may come across as worldly. And internally, but a devotee has to be very introspective. And know where he or she is going. Like that. So that is the example of tortoise. Even for speaking, a devotee usually is very silent. In front of senior devotees, we don't speak much. But when we are required to preach, then we should roar like a lion, Prabhupada said. You must roar like a lion when we are preaching. But otherwise, then be sober and not talk unnecessarily. Like that. Even dealings of Prabhuji's with Mataji. Prabhuji's unnecessarily don't deal with Mataji's, and Mataji's also unnecessarily don't deal with Prabhuji's. But when it comes to preaching, yes, then definitely we don't discriminate between, you know, Prabhuji and Mataji. We give Krishna consciousness, because you will find so many people sitting in the class like that. Of course, Prabhuji's don't solve Mataji's problems. If a Mataji says that, oh, Prabhuji, actually I want to just reveal my heart to you, you know, I'm not getting along with my husband. So Prabhuji doesn't, oh, is it? Okay, come on, I will solve your problem. But you know I'm counselor. You know, not like that. Then the Prabhuji will say, oh, very nice. Oh, is it your real problem? Okay, I'll talk to my wife. You can talk to her. Like that. Not that, you know, we are giving solution to all the problems in the world. Like that. So a devotee should know exactly, should know where to deal and where to stop. And then direct. So this has to be there. This discrimination has to be there at all the time. How much to advise, where to stop advising. You know, in my own life, I have faced a lot of problems, and I have learned bitterly. You know, to sometimes someone comes for advice, whether to give or not to give. It's you know, Yogesh Prabhu, you'll agree. He's smiling. You also face a lot of problems. You know, people come crying with some problem, and then you know. They will ask for a solution, and then after you give the solution, the persons who are fighting with themselves, they will get united, and then they will blaspheme you for that. Right? So therefore, we have to be very, very, very careful. So there are many things I learned from Nityananda Priya Prabhu. You know, in one sense, in terms of speech, you know, he's my Siksha Guru in that sense. You know, very measured. He'll think 10 times before he opens his mouth and makes one statement. Even if you tell him, Prabhuji, there is a problem, he'll just be grave, and then he'll think, oh, what to tell now? And very measuredly. Yeah, that's all. Sometimes, you know, that's all. Walk away from there. So there's a lot to learn from devotees who are sober. And not go on, you know, trying to be the savior of the whole world. Sometimes we land up in problems. But at the same time, we cannot say that I'm very aloof, don't tell me any problems, you know, I'm just, no, I don't want to do any problems. Because at the end of the day, who should help devotees? Devotees should help devotees. At the end of the day, all of us have to take each other's help. So we have to get involved in people's lives. Otherwise, then we are not serving them. But at the same time, we should know when to get in, what is the right time to get out, again, what is the right time to get in into an issue. So this has to be perfected. And people, fools like me, we'll learn with experience. So many, you know, incidents, so much of experience, and then slowly, you know, somewhere it is getting there into the head. You know? So when we undertake responsibilities in the congregation, at that point in time our own maturity will be tested. Till we take responsibility and leadership, our maturity is never tested. Because all the time we are only at the receiving end. We are not taking charge of somebody's life and then trying to cultivate that person. So that is why it is said, to move from the Kanishtha platform to the Madhyama platform, one must preach. Unless we start taking responsibilities for others' Krishna consciousness, we will never come out of our own bickerings and our own problems. And we will not be able to lift ourselves. When we start getting involved in other people's life, we will get garlands and we will get shoes also. Both we will get. Mala and chappal, both you will get. Like that. So then when we get the chappals, then we imagine, oh, maybe I have done something wrong. I shouldn't have dealt with this situation in this manner. Then, okay, in the next case when it comes, you are already ready. Oh, once bitten, twice shy. So in that situation, then you improve the dealing. Still you may make mistake. In the third situation, you deal even better. So that is the way. And then when we are doing this constantly, we are lifting our own game. Please understand that. That is happening consciously in our own life. We are lifting our game. We are becoming more measured. We are becoming more tortoise in our life. When to speak, when not to speak, like that. Yes,
sometimes devotees, they come and go to other devotees to get an answer. But they already have an answer in their mind. They just want to validate the answer in that situation. What do you do?
Yeah, so you must recognize this and not give any decision to the devotee. You have touched a very good point. Devotees will come to you, they will ask suggestion. Prabhu, should I go to India or should I be in Australia? And then you know, they want to hear that you go to India, let us say, for example. And then you say that, Prabhu, that's nice congregation is there, Radha Vallabha, this, that, etc., etc. Okay? And then, but they are not satisfied. So they'll go to another person. They'll say, Prabhu, I was thinking that, don't you think, Prabhu, India is better? And that Prabhu, you know, may say that there are different types of people also you will find who are counseling. There are those people who are very interested in giving a decision to others so that they get a sense of control. There are others who are please all persons. So they will say, wonderful, yeah, whatever you decide, you are a brilliant person anyway. Like that they will tell. So India, oh, very good, very good, very good. And tomorrow when the devotee goes and says, Prabhu, I've changed my mind, Australia, fantastic decision. So this person will maintain relationship with everyone. He's a relationship oriented person. So then the devotee will think, I like that Prabhuji very much. When I told him I want to go to India, he perfectly understood my mind. This Jagannath Ram, unnecessarily, Melbourne Mahaprabhu, he was trying to put a spoke in the wheel of my happiness. Therefore, I have decided, and he will go and tell another 10 people that Jagannath Ram advised me like that. I don't know, I'm not happy with that decision. Like that. And therefore, what happens when you get that slap, then you go to Prabhupada and say, Prabhupada, tortoise. Next time someone comes, Prabhu, should I go to Melbourne or Australia? Prabhu, you are the best judge. Like that. If you have a relationship with the person, get into it. If you don't have a relationship with that person, don't counsel. Okay, of course, that is not a topic for today. Otherwise, we lose our peace of mind. Yeah, it will happen. Husband and wife will come fighting. Okay, husband will say, wife is like this, and all her bad qualities they will tell. Wife will tell all bad qualities of husband. And then you are into it, and sometimes you will empathize with the husband and say, yeah, I think your wife needs to improve on these areas. But after they patch up, the Jagannath Ram told that you must improve in this area. And your wife will not look at you. She will not look at my wife also. Mataji, bura laga. Bura laga. I felt bad. Tortoise. Withdraw. So don't get too much. No. Just hear and give Krishna conscious philosophy. That's all. So immediately what we do is, we say that, Kardama Muni and Devahuti were dealing like this. That's all. So you have not told anything. Even then you have a problem. Even then you will have a problem. Even then. Somebody, we are telling that, Prabhupada says, sex should be only for procreation. And somebody feels bad. They say, Jagannath Ram has ruined our life. Because he has said that sex must be only for procreation. How can he say like that? Because my husband is not dealing with me properly. So like that. So whatever you do in this life, as a preacher, you will get shoes thrown at you. But those shoes are very good. They are garlands, because you can take the shoe and beat your head 10 times. Saying that, oh fool, you are advised when there is no relationship. There is no trust. Oh fool mind. Please control your mouth. And don't go out advising everyone. Okay. So it's an art. Whereas if someone very close to you is there, who trusts you completely, and who is under our care, then yes, we definitely go out of our way, and then we advise that person. Again, the philosophy which has been given is, for me, I have been advised by some senior devotees that always give Krishna conscious philosophy and leave the decision to members to take, and let them own the responsibility for whatever decisions they make. You never give a decision to anyone. Never tell anyone, you must go here or you must go there, etc. If we have a very close, intimate relationship, sometimes we go a little bit. But after that, if it is not taken, then immediately you withdraw. After that, you don't poke there further. Let the person take. Otherwise, tomorrow we don't want that person to feel that, devotees have not served that person's intentions properly. Like that. So it's a knack when to withdraw, when to get in. And in every situation we will be tested in this life. And with lot of experience, we will learn in life all these things.
Prabhu, what if the wife trusts and the husband doesn't trust?
Okay. I have faced this issue also. The wife trusted and the husband threw us out of the house. He told, get out, he said. We were asked to get out by the husband in one issue. The wife trusted us. They said, please talk to my husband about Krishna consciousness. He's not supportive of my Krishna consciousness. We went and we were asked to get out from that place. So you have to face so many things. So then next time, when the wife is not favorable and the husband is not favorable, we remember that treatment. So careful, very careful. So what usually what we do is we just give the Krishna conscious philosophy. We never, so if Mataji asks, we never go to that Mataji and say, why you are not coming regularly for Bhakti Variksha class now? No. He'll say, consult your husband and whenever possible you come. But serve your husband. Your first duty is to serve your husband. Actually, that is the philosophy. See, some people, they come with their own karmas. Please understand. Some ladies may come with a karma that they cannot get a good husband in this lifetime. It is not possible because their karma is not like that, right? Unless Krishna has to do a very special mercy for them then and change their whole situation, which is possible, which is entirely possible, right? But some people bring their karma and you can't do anything. So externally we can serve them in some way. If for example, you know, we can do anything to facilitate externally, then we will do that. For example, if the Mataji says, okay, Prabhu, can you give me the address where Devamrita Swami is lecturing, then we can give. But we don't go to her and say that, don't worry, you know, your Krishna conscious thing, forget about your husband, but come for Devamrita Swami's program. No, because what will happen is that the husband will further get agitated with the devotees. He will start thinking that, you know, devotees are taking me, are splitting my family. That's how they perceive it actually. They'll say, you people have come to divide my family, like that. What Prabhupada's representative you people are? Devotees are supposed to unite the family, isn't it? Is it not correct? But we are dividing the family. You are trying to teach my wife so many things about Krishna consciousness, etc. Whole day, she is not cooking. She is, whenever I'm asking food, she is telling, I'm going Bhagavatam class. Like that. So, it all depends on the maturity of that wife. If the wife is extremely mature, I'll tell you what, there are instructions. I'll tell you a case which my Guru Maharaj handed. I'll share that with you. Wife, extremely favorable. Husband, not favorable. You remember that? Maharaj told the wife, I don't want to see you in Bhagavatam class from tomorrow. You go and serve your husband's mother. What is, you know, how to please the husband best? Every male here knows. If our wife is serving our mother, all husbands are pleased. Simple, right? So, he told the Mataji, you go and serve your husband's mother. And I don't want to see your face in the temple. But he said, Maharaj said, you get your husband to sit for Bhagavatam class. He must hear and tell you what I spoke. And for 2 years or something like that, they did that. Husband became a counselor. He's one of the leading counselors in New Bombay area. No. Husband is a counselor now. Became pakka devotee. So many 800, 900 devotees he's cultivating like that in Bombay. So this is an example, I'm saying, of a success story which has happened. So wherever we believe that our experience is not enough to handle a counseling issues, immediately we must go to people who are more experienced than us and take advice. That's one thing. So they will tell how to handle the situation. Every situation is different, I can tell you. It's very difficult to give a general answer. Everybody's situation is very difficult. And there are a lot of complications in specific situations. So we have to really, really be very careful, very patient, and not get too much into the problem of others such that our own consciousness starts getting, you know, affected by that. Now sometimes what will happen, husband and wife will be constantly fighting in front of you and you will also get sick. When you come home, you will start fighting with your wife. So instead of playing kabaddi, instead of going to that camp and then saving them, you have also fallen down along with them. And the same mood you are also having towards the wife, like that. Or the wife is having towards husband. So very, very careful. Tortoise example. We'll talk more about it as we, you know, progress. Though the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, the taste for sense enjoyment object remains. But seizing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. This is again a very important verse. Parandrishtva nivartante. So we cannot give up our lower tastes till we develop a higher taste. For example, even after many years in Krishna consciousness, some of us may still be attracted to television and to watching movies and other events, right? We cannot give it up unless and otherwise we replace those activities with hearing lectures or watching Prabhupada videos. We cannot. If we artificially say, no, I will not do anything. If we have time in our hand, the worst enemy for a devotee is what? Idle time. Idle time is the number one enemy of a devotee. Number one enemy. It is only during the idle time when the mind has choices on what to do. So pack our day in such a way so that there is no choice. Pack with Krishna conscious activities. Either we must be doing Krishna conscious activities or executing our familial responsibilities. Or, okay, sometimes because we are grihasthas, study and do something, sue some certification for your job. But be busy with all these activities. If we are not, if idle time comes, immediately maya jhapatya dhare. It will enter and give you many, many suggestions like that. Okay. So therefore, we have to keep our day packed. By taking up more and more Krishna conscious activities, we will develop the higher taste. And by that higher taste only, we will be able to give up the other activities. If we have idle time, immediately we will go to the television set. Because the mind is wants sense gratification all the time. It is the nature of the mind to seek vishaya, to seek enjoyment in matter. So param drishtva nivartate, higher taste. Replace, analyze all the activities which we are doing in a day. Find out which are the frivolous activities which we can live without in our lives. And replace that and fill that time with Krishna conscious activities. Muralidhar Prabhu once gave me a very nice example. He said, you can only pour water into a glass to the extent that it is empty. But if the glass is already full, then whatever you pour will not touch the glass. It will just flow out. It will not impact the glass in any way. So fill the time with Krishna consciousness. So anything that comes out will just flow outside. It will not affect. The senses are so strong and impetuous, O Arjuna, that they forcibly carry away the mind, even of a man of discrimination, who is endeavoring to control them. One who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control, and fixes his consciousness upon me, is known as a man of steady intelligence. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment, lust develops. And from lust, anger arises. This is again a famous verse. From anger, complete delusion arises, and from delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. So, there are two aspects which come in these four verses, 60 to 63. The main theme is that without Krishna consciousness, immediately we will fall down back into the material world. The moment we stop Krishna consciousness, we will fall down. Krishna, it's like gravity. You are falling down, you are holding a branch. Till the time that you are holding that branch, gravity is still acting on you, but it is not able to impact you. But the slowly you start loosening your grip, it's always acting on you, gravity. So it will push you down. So Maya is always acting on devotees. Maya was acting also on Srila Prabhupada, but Srila Prabhupada conquered Maya. It's not that Maya said, okay, I will not go near Srila Prabhupada. Maya acts on the most advanced devotees. Haridas Thakur. Maya even tested Haridas Thakur, what to speak. But because he was Sthita Pragya, and he was able to easily overcome that situation. So Maya is going to act on all of us. So there are two aspects which are coming up very important here. One is restraining our senses, first aspect. And second is fixing our consciousness on Krishna. These are two separate things. They are related, but still they are separate in that sense. Restraining our senses and fixing our consciousness on Krishna. An example of restraining our senses is following the four regulative principles. An example of fixing our mind in Krishna is chanting 16 rounds and right of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So this is a regimen which is given to every ISKCON devotee. So the question here is coming, but what if one fixes one's senses on an object of enjoyment? Instead of fixing senses on Krishna, what if one fixes senses on object of enjoyment? And that's where all these verses come. When you moment you start contemplating on the object of the senses, then what happens? The whole verse is there. Bewilderment of intelligence, and you know, anger comes, correct? Loss, you know, memory. So many things, all that impact is there in these verses. So the essence of this whole passage, why this sequence in which bewilderment comes is discussed with Arjuna, is because Lord Krishna is trying to still dissuade Arjuna from going to the forest and doing meditation. Lord Krishna is saying that even if you go to the forest and meditate, because you have not conquered your mind will drag you here and there even in that forest. People may not be there, but your mind is still going with you, right? And your mind is going to trouble you all the time, right? So in that context, all this is coming. Krishna is still perceiving that risk that this fellow may go to the forest and not fight the battle of Kurukshetra. So there are various examples of devotees who have fallen down like that. The famous example is Vishwamitra, who fell down when he saw, what was that? Menaka, right? So he fell down. He was a muni, right? Then Ajamila. Ajamila also fell down. Ajamila lived a nice Brahminical life in his childhood. But then he saw prostitute and one fellow, you know, embracing each other. The moment he saw that, his mind was agitated. He said, no, I should not act upon it. He tried to use his Brahminical Tejas to counter that problem, right? But his Brahminical Tejas did not assist him. He fell down. He went and married that prostitute. And then he, you know, Narayana was born. When he chanted Narayana's name eventually. So all that passed. So Prabhupada also writes that one cannot forcibly control the senses. One has to engage the senses in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, the senses will run riot. You got a question?
Just a quick question.
It's only if we can control the mind, but we cannot transform the mind. The mind will always be our enemy unless we control it, but we cannot transform the mind to be supportive of.
So we don't need to transform the mind, we need to engage the mind. So Prabhupada is always using the word engage the mind. Mind cannot be transformed. Mind is subtle matter. Mind is mind. And we cannot transform anything. Transformation only Krishna can do of matter, right? So, of subtle energy. So we can only engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. We cannot transform. That's why we said that if the mind is used to engaging in, you know, material activities, we have to force the mind. We have to adopt some more Krishna consciousness activities to keep our day busy, so that the mind is then actively engaged in those activities. Otherwise, it's very difficult. And that is one very good advantage of courses like this. Like for example, our own experience is when we were studying Bhakti Vaibhav under Keshav Prabhu, then our Mondays and Tuesdays are compulsorily engaged in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Whether you want or you don't want, you know that Keshav Prabhu is giving class, you have to come. And then you are engaged. If not, then you will suddenly, when the class is not there, when vacation time, sometimes I think, oh, what to do now? Okay. Well, let's go a little bit more internet, you know, we can surf like that. The mind will go there. But then, because Bhagavatam class Keshav Prabhu is doing, then we are sitting here and reading Prabhupada's books. So we have to force, because we are not at that stage right now where we are Goswamis. We are still Godas. We are still dictated by our sense organs. Our activities are dictated by our sense organs. Subtle sense organs and gross sense organs. So for us, there is no other way but to pack our day. So there is an analogy also given here that bhakti is akin to fire. Just like a fire can burn, so bhakti can burn all our material desires. It can burn all the impurities within the heart. And Prabhupada is talking about the jnani in these verses. The jnani struggles with inactivity because he is inactive. Therefore, he is always struggling. That's why the jnani is also bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanti. The jnani is also ashant. Because what happens to the jnani? He is refraining from action. So when you are refraining from action, the soul has got a propensity to always act. So he has to do something. So inadvertently the jnani will end up doing something stupid and fall down from his position. So Prabhupada is also mentioning that. And Prabhupada is giving early indications here of the principle of yukta vairagya. So it is not about renunciation, is not about staying aloof from activities, but engaging our senses and our resources in the service of Krishna. Not accepting money is what? Sometimes when people offer money, Prabhupada says, other acharyas, they say, Mayavadi, sir, no, we don't want any money. We are renounced. But Prabhupada said, money, you give. I'll take with 3-4 hands, give. And then I'll use it for the service of Krishna. So when you do that, the money no longer attracts you because you are using it for Krishna. Whereas the Mayavadi may refuse once or twice, but third time, you know, when the funds are running out of the ashram, when his position is in threat, then he'll do some other ways of getting that money. Like that. Isn't it? Because at the end of the day, you need money to run anything, any institution. So only for show, people do all these things. But Prabhupada was very practical. Get the resources, dovetail it in Krishna's service, so that resource will not be a source of attachment for you in this lifetime. We'll go from 64 to 71 and then discuss. But a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. So Prabhupada is talking about the regulative principles here. So these verses are the genesis of how regulative principles came under ISKCON. For one thus satisfied in Krishna consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence exist no longer. In such satisfied consciousness, one's intelligence is soon well established. One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. That's why bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanti. There is no peace for anyone who is not engaging in Krishna consciousness. And how can there be any happiness without peace? Elsewhere also Lord Krishna is saying, only when you know that I am the recipient and beneficiary of all activities will you attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. Which verse is that? Bhoktaram Yagyatapasham Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Surudam Sarva Bhutanam Nyatvanam Shantim Ruchati. Shanti. Peace will only come when we understand Krishna's supremacy, that he is the controller. As long as we have the controlling tendency, we will never be peaceful. As a strong wind sweeps away a boat on the water, even one of the roaming senses on which the mind focuses can carry away a man's intelligence. Just imagine, even one sense can carry us, can carry away a man's intelligence. One sense is enough. The sense of the tongue can take away a man from Krishna consciousness, the genitals can take away a man away from Krishna consciousness, the eyes can take away someone from Krishna consciousness. One sense is enough. Very profound verse. Therefore, O mighty armed, one whose senses are restrained from their objects is certainly of steady intelligence. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. And the time of awakening for all beings is the night for the introspective sage. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires. This is the famous example, river example. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. The more and more we try to satisfy our desires, satisfying our desires is like pouring fuel on the fire, not water. We have to day in and day out meditate on this example. Satisfying our desires is like pouring fuel on the fire. If we say, no, let me do one thing. I am not able to chant attentively. My mind is always telling me, watch that latest movie. Or, India is playing Australia in the final 2020. See, look, I am a devotee. I want to chant 16 rounds. Everything is fine. But I am telling you, I am not able to sit. My mind is constantly going to what Tendulkar is out or not out. Okay? So, Tendulkar is a famous Indian batsman, by the way. Okay? So, or... Pardon me? 2020 is a cricket match, which is very famous in India. Format. Okay. Good question. Sorry. I'm assuming so many things. Mataji, I don't want to contaminate you with all this knowledge. They are very simple. So this is a very famous format in India of cricket match, right? So everyone is very attached to this tournament, to this match. It's like almost the finals of footy, how everyone is, the mind is always thinking, oh, let me watch the footy finals like that, okay? The moment we say, okay, don't worry, this mind is really disturbing me, let me actually see that match first, okay? So at least my mind is then happy, after that I'll sit and chant. But what will happen? This is the philosophy which thinks that by indulging in material activities, one is pouring water. But Krishna is saying here, you are pouring fuel. By watching one match, the desire to watch another match will only go up, it will not come down. The more we fulfill material desires, they will not go down. The more we try to live opulently, because husband and wife both are working, and working very hard, okay? Therefore, the more and more we get attached to the opulence and the prestige of more money and the security of that money, the lesser and less our Krishna consciousness will be. We'll get only more and more attached to that. If we over-endeavor at work, we'll only get more attached to that over-endeavoring. It will not happen that I'll over-endeavor so much that I'll lose the desire for working. No, it will not happen. When you over-endeavor, what will happen? You'll get a pat on the back from the boss. Well done. When you say well done, you want to impress him more. Like that. And when you get a financial reward, you'll say, oh, last time I got, that rating. This time also I should retain that rating. Therefore, work very hard. Like that. So, fulfilling material desires is only like pouring fuel on the fire. It is not eating non-prashadam. Once if we eat non-prashadam, the desire to eat non-prashadam will only increase. It is not that, okay, I finally exhausted my indulgence. Now, my mind is very peaceful. This was the philosophy of one demonic person who existed in this world. Rajneesh. Have you heard of him? His philosophy was that you have so much sex that you get fed up of sex. And you can renounce them. But nobody renounced. People only indulge more and more. He himself also fell down after that. Right? And then I don't know what happened. He was a nervous wreck and, miserable death. So,
I think people said he died of AIDS.
So. Whatever, AIDS. What else will you get? You will not become Chitta Pragya by engaging in such activities. Isn't it? So therefore, this philosophy will not work. So the demonic persons in society are preaching exactly the opposite of what Krishna is preaching. Krishna is very clearly saying, you indulge, it's like pouring fuel. It will never satisfy. It will give you desire for more and more of that. In Hindi also they say, ye dil mange more. You take one little bit of Pepsi, you will want more of Pepsi. The ad is also like that. Pepsi ad, no? Which ad was that? Yeah. This mind will always want more and more. Like that.
Radha Gopi has to be compressed with an itch.
With an itch, yeah. So if you scratch that itch, then you know it will further want to scratch more, and then there will be a wound on top of that after that. So example is given here. In the 64 to 71, Prabhupada is talking about how does a devotee walk. Or in short, the analogy is how does he engage his senses. Like that. So Prabhupada says in the purports that one has to follow the regulative principles. One has to regulate one's eating, sleeping, mating, defending, everything. One has to regulate all these activities. So with regulation and religious principles, if we do this, then we obtain the causeless mercy of the Lord. If we endeavor to stay away from sense gratification, then Krishna will give causeless mercy. When will Krishna give causeless mercy? When he sees a devotee sincerely endeavoring in that direction, so he will give him the ability to control those desires. Like that. So Prabhupada is mentioning that in the purport. If Krishna wants, one can do anything ordinarily undesirable. That also, so in the sense of the tortoise, Prabhupada is taking back to the tortoise example. He says, if Krishna wants, even if the whole world thinks that some activity is undesirable, a devotee can still go ahead and do it because Krishna wants. What is the example? Fighting in the battle of Kurukshetra and killing the Kauravas. And then if Krishna does not want, one shall not do that which he would have ordinarily done for his own satisfaction. If Krishna wants, doesn't want, then devotee doesn't do that, even if the devotee is feeling satisfied with that activity. So that is, this is the philosophy beyond controlling the senses. And by acting like that, one will get the causeless mercy of the Lord. And Prabhupada says, no happiness or peace can come without Krishna consciousness. We see even in Srimad Bhagavatam that Vyasadeva has written everything for sense gratification, economic development. He wrote the entire Vedas, then he wrote the Vedanta Sutra, then he wrote so many Upanishads are there. Everything was compiled, but still his heart was despondent. Why? Because he failed to glorify the Lord. So his spiritual master Narad Muni had to come to him and tell him that you are miserable because bhakti is lacking in your articles, in your activities. You failed to glorify the Lord. And then Vyasadeva writes compiles the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then he feels completely happy like that. So there can be no happiness or peace without Krishna consciousness. Okay. And then a good example of Krishna consciousness of the tortoise is Maharaj Priyavrat. And we'll end the class in another 2 minutes with Maharaj Priyavrat's example. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will understand that Swayambhu Manu had two prominent children. Who are those? Priyavrat and Uttanapal. So if you read the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and I suggest in this context, you will read the first chapter of the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. How Maharaj Priyavrat is an excellent example of Sthita Pragya. Maharaj Priyavrat in his early childhood was trained by Narad Muni. And he lost all interest in material life. He knew that the purpose of life is to go back to Godhead. So he said, I don't want to handle any kingdom or anything. I don't want to get into all this administration business. Right? He had the throne waiting for him. He said, I don't want to indulge in all that. So he completely followed the footsteps of Narad Muni. And he had nothing to do with the kingdom. But Swayambhu Manu, his father, wanted him to manage the kingdom. Because unless a self-realized person manages the kingdom, then rascals will manage the kingdom. And nobody else will become self-realized. Because jaisa raja vaisa praja, like a king, subjects will be as such. Right? So therefore, Swayambhu Manu brings Brahma along with him to Maharaj Priyavrat, who is meditating on the mountain somewhere. And then they come and then tell him, look, it is the order of Lord Vishnu that you must go and manage the kingdom, because there are so many people that are waiting for you to deliver them. Now you have this rightful knowledge. Don't worry. Maharaj Priyavrat says, but I will fall down if I get into worldly activities. So therefore Brahma is telling him, no, you will not fall down because you have been trained in the early age in spiritual science. Because you know the goal of life, externally you will be managing kingdoms. You will be involved with income tax. You will be involved with people issues. So many things in the kingdom. You will be involved with treasury. So many departments you will handle. Externally you will be a very busy person, managing your activities of office and whatever. But internally you will never deviate, because you know that whatever externally you are busy with, that is not the goal of life. Towards the end, throughout all those activities, you will never forget Krishna. And then Brahma convinces him like that. Then Priyavrat goes and handles the kingdom very efficiently. He goes to his job and he performs on his job very well, right? And all his subjects are very happy. And then Priyavrat's glories are reaching far and wide. But the moment Priyavrat gets the next successor, he appoints his successor, he immediately does not hesitate to come out of the kingdom. He doesn't get attached. Oh, now I have built a community. Now see, so much prestige I have accumulated. Everyone trusts me in this kingdom. Maybe I should take, you know, continue for more time in this chair. No. He's waiting for that moment when he can give up that chair and then go back to his recluse life of self-realization. So this point is very important for us also to understand. So our mood is what? Prabhupada's mood is what? Goshti Anandi or Bhajan Anandi? Prabhupada's mood. Prabhupada's mood is Goshti Anandi. Okay? We are not Bhajan Anandis. So we don't have that mood. Oh, let me get out of this place, finally settle down in Vrindavan and then meditate in the forest. For us, what Prabhupada wanted us to do? He wanted us to be engaged in our jobs, get credibility to be able to preach. For example, when we preach, when we say that I am working in so-and-so bank or whatever, right? As a grihastha, if you say that I am a project manager, then people relate to you very easily. Oh, is it? I am also a project manager. So we have to use that. When we say Devamrit Maharaj is from Yale University, people sit up. Oh, Yale University, my God. Let me hear what he has to say. Whereas if we just introduce somebody, okay, this is a Prabhu. You know, you remember in an earlier Bhagavatam class I said, this is a Prabhu, he is 6 feet, 7 inch tall. You know, he has just come here to give class. You know, he is trying to be in Krishna consciousness. If we just introduce person like that, nobody is going to be interested in hearing. But the moment Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, Princeton University. Oh, is it? Okay, he has met Nelson Mandela. Oh, is it? I want to hear what he has to say, like that. So, this is the mood Prabhupada wants us to engage our full life in spreading Krishna consciousness. Especially as grihasthas, it's very important that we have to, all of us sitting in the room have to become preachers. We have to go out and take this Krishna consciousness to everyone. In fact, somebody was telling the other day, Ranirudhru was saying, we should not only restrict to Indians, we must go out and preach to the Australians also, right? So if you have some abilities, you can connect to the Westerners but no, very well, then use that ability and start a program for preaching exclusively for Westerners. So like that, but we all have to, so there is no point, you know, in going and running to Mayapur and settling down there prematurely in one's life. Because our life is, we don't know how to utilize our time, fill it with Krishna consciousness. Even in Mayapur, we'll carry all our tendencies and we'll do Prajalpadar in Mayapur, right? And after some time, the deities will also become very familiar. The holy dham will also become very familiar. So no longer it will stop, you know, it will attract you more and more. So this is an example of Maharaj Priyavrata is very important as a Stita Pragya. So get trained in Krishna consciousness. We should go to our jobs. Never forget Krishna. Work, do whatever we want, build a credibility, but use that credibility to go out and spread Krishna consciousness. And then at the end, when all our responsibilities are over, then finally go and one can settle down in the holy dham. It's not that one should not settle down. Prabhupada himself writes, in Nectar of Instruction towards the end, Prabhupada writes, one must finally go and settle down in Vrindavan and follow in the footsteps of the Acharyas. But again, if you see the mood of our spiritual masters, none of them have this plan of settling down forever in Vrindavan. Prabhupada himself, from the bed, Prabhupada didn't say, okay, take me to, you know, Nidhivan forest. You know, let me meditate on Radha Krishna's intimate pastimes. Just imagine, Prabhupada, he's sleeping on the bed and he's dictating next canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He's about to leave his body and he's dictating on the dictaphone. So that is the mood of Prabhupada. So very clearly, Prabhupada by his life has set the expectations for all of us. Till our last breath, we have to spread Krishna consciousness through some way. If you are very good at catering, do catering. If you are very good at shastras, preach, speak. Like that. In some way or the other, we have to be engaged in preaching Krishna consciousness. So that is a Stita Pragya. A Stita Pragya is who never forgets the instructions of spiritual master, who never forgets the will of Krishna. 72. That is the way of the spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. There is no confusion. Because we know the goal of life very clearly, what is expected of us. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So one doesn't need to go into a forest and do nirjan bhajan. One can simply be preaching or doing book distribution and give up the body and still go back to Godhead. So we have to have complete conviction. Otherwise, then we can fall prey to other ideologies. So in text 72, Lord Krishna glorifies the position of the Stita Pragya. Now, if you see, Now that brings us to the end of chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita. Now, if you recollect, chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita introduced us to many terms and terminologies, which was not there in chapter 1. It introduced us to the Vedas, to the three modes of material nature, to Vedanta, it introduced us to Karma Yoga, it introduced us to Karma Kanda, right? It introduced us to Jnana, Sankhya, Buddhi Yoga, so many things we covered in the second chapter. We talked about Atma, we talked about renunciation, Vairagya, we talked about Samadhi, we talked about Sannyas, we talked about Bhakti Yoga. So, Bhakti Vinod Thakur has mentioned that this second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam is as good as representative of the whole Bhagavad Gita. That is why it is the summum bonum of the Bhagavad Gita. So, everything that the Lord is going to speak from there, in one sense, as the introduction has already been given in the second chapter. That's why second chapter is called the summary of the Bhagavad Gita. Like that. Okay. So, in the next week, the homework for all of you will be to read verses 1 to 9 from the next chapter, third chapter, where now we will start studying the science of Karma Yoga in great detail. Chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.